What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 238. What is going on? I am Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson. Mitch, how's it going, my friend?
Okay. I was in a mood today because one of my kids was just being a jerk for no reason. Just no one wanted to play outside and they just got mad at everyone. And so it just brought the whole home into like this weird, gross kind of like funk. And so I decided like that, I got to change what's going on in my head. I got to change my mood. So I went downstairs and played guitar. And apparently I haven't played guitar in a while because my hand has been killing me for like an hour now. The muscle here, like behind, like below my pinky finger, just kill. And all I was doing is power chords and I'm dying here.
So do you do electric guitar or acoustic when you play?
I was only doing acoustic, because my electric just doesn't seem to want to hold the tune. I got to go get it fixed. And I say that like, oh, I got a guitar that I play all the time. I rarely play this thing clearly because, again, my hand is not having a good time right now.
Mitch is basically crippled because he tried to play the guitar this afternoon is what I'm hearing.
Exactly. My hand is like, this is not a bass. I don't know what I'm doing here. And you think it should, although then again, bass, I haven't been playing a ton, but still. Anyways, my hand is just not having a good time. What's going on with you? Are you having a better time than my hand is?
Not really, no, because we've been figuring it out as we tried to record. I've had internet issues all day today, so we're trying to make the most of it. So if we have some tech issues, hand up, it's my fault. I'll take the fall for this week. And also, like, the weather has been crazy bipolar, which I know it's like so cliche to be like, oh, we're going to talk about the weather at the start of the pod. But it was like 60 degrees over the weekend and it snowed today. Like, this is just the worst.
Yeah, that sounds awful. When you're kind of like you get a glimpse of what could be and you're going, yes, here we come. And then it's like, ha ha, nope, sucker. And you're just kind of like, come on, man. You feel like Eeyore, right? Like, nothing is good.
Yeah, very much so. So. Right now, well, it feels like nothing is good after the last couple Islanders games, especially the most recent one where they lost and just had an absolute meltdown in the third period. But what we wanted to start with is Semyon Varlamov, because there's been a ton of rumors surrounding the Islanders netminder Varlamov. Some teams are interested. He might not waive his no trade clause. Like, there's so many factors here. Where do you want to get this thing rolling, Mitch?
I guess maybe we just talk about, is he or should he be available, and then we work our way through it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do think he should be available. Like, if someone wants to trade for Semyon Varlamov, why the hell not? The Islanders clearly, like, this year they're not doing anything. Ilya Sorokin is significantly better than Semyon Varlamov at this point. I say you move him and you just go with whoever else. You're probably in a goalie trade. You're probably going to get a goalie back, even if they're on like an expiring deal. It's just a placeholder for the rest of the season, and then you reevaluate from there. But yeah, if someone's like super interested in Semyon Varlamov and is going to give you like a reasonable return, then why the hell not?
Yeah, that's just it. I understand the anyone's trepidation, like, well, we have 30 games in 50 days or 29 and 49 type of thing. And that's a lot of wear and tear on just one goalie, but you're right. Like, they're going to get a goalie back. And even if they don't get a goalie back, they can probably find one that they can plug in for a little bit. I don't imagine it'll be Ilya or Jakub Skarić, but it could very well be. So the Islanders can find something if they're going to lose Simon Varlamov. And the only reason they do so is, like you said, they get a good return because they're under no obligation to move him. They've got cap space without moving him. They could get more cap space, but they're not drowning, right? Or I guess dying, I guess, or being buried or whatever. They have a ton of cap space going forward is what I'm trying to say here. They don't need to move Simon Varlamov and his $5 million now. They just don't have to. But like you said, if the return is there, then you'd be kind of dumb not to.
Right. And like, that's the thing. I'm not saying move him just to move him. I think that would be silly. You wait to the mm-hmm. offseason and, you know, around the draft would seem like the perfect time for a Varlamov trade if nothing were to happen in season. But, you know, as we said, if a team is desperate, hint, hint to the Edmonton Oilers, who, you know, they're fighting for a playoff spot but are getting garbage play in net night in and night out. Maybe they get a little nuts and want to offer you a first round plus.
Yeah, because that's the thing going forward now is that, okay, well, let's say he is on the market. Well, how many teams are really in for a starting goalie this time of year, right? It's certainly not the bottom tier teams, although I'm sure they could, you know, they might make a play for him, but they'll wait out the year. They have no reason to be paying this guy for no reason now. Let's wait till his contract drops to $4 million salary instead of the six he's getting now, even if you're still paying on a prorated rate. So you got to factor the only teams that might be interested in bringing in someone like Varlamov is a playoff team. And if you're in the playoffs, you probably have good goaltending. Just a hunch.
Yeah.
But the only team that doesn't is the Edmonton Oilers.
Right, exactly. You're kind of like, I feel like the sweet spot is a team like that's either in a playoff spot or like in a reasonable range to make a push for a playoff spot. But they're the team that makes the most sense. But supposedly, there's a rumor that Semyon Varlamov wouldn't waive his no trade clause to go there.
Which makes sense, right? Like, it's Edmonton. They're usually on the no-trade lists. That's just how it is in Edmonton. Even if they've got Connor McDavid, they're not going to go there. The only other team, when you look at the bottom-tier team, so what I'm looking at is 16 and lower in terms of save percentage in the NHL. There are very few that are in the playoffs. You've got Tampa that's in it at 904, but like they don't have a need to go get one. They're going to ride Vasilevsky and they're good.
Right.
Toronto, okay, but they've got no cap space at all. They've got to make big deals just to make some money or to make some space on the cap to bring him in. So maybe, but unlikely. Los Angeles at 903 save percentage, but like they're not gunning for it. They're just happy to be there type of thing. Yep. So they're not going to move hell and high water to get Varley. Vegas, 902. They're not going to do it.
Nope.
Minnesota, 901. There's a team. That's a team that might do it. Minnesota is probably one of those teams. And then you have the Edmonton Oilers at 899.
Yikes. But yeah, you pretty much just narrowed that list down to two possibilities at this point.
Yeah, like we've heard the Colorado Avalanche, but they're ninth in terms of goaltending with a 908.
Yeah.
Why? What?
No, I don't.
I guess they could get better than 908.
I guess so. And that would be a little awkward if they brought him back, I feel like.
That's true, right? Like, they just let him go. Although they don't have to pay him, I suppose, as much anymore. And it allowed them to do some of the things they did do. But yeah, they don't seem like a team, to me, that screams, we need to bring in another goalie. They're getting decent goalie play right now. I don't think they're going to be gunning for one, especially one with term, right? Like, he's got another year after this at $5 million. That's a big price tag.
No, it is. And that's why, you know, I look more so at a team like Edmonton because they don't have really, there's no answer there. There is zero answer there. So don't know. So they'd probably be happy to take on that extra year where, you know, some of these other ones are, as you said, it maybe as a rental, fine, but do you want to sign up for an extra year of Varley? I don't know how many teams would.
Right. Like, his stats aren't great this year, specifically, but he's still a good goalie under there. So some team might. That's why I look at Minnesota, because they might want someone kind of in the same way that the Islanders had him, right? They brought in a guy to kind of not take, not be the number one. Well, yeah, to be the number one, but kind of shepherd in. That's the word I was looking for here. I was struggling. Shepherd in another goalie that's going to be taking over the number one spot. And that's kind of what they've got going on in Minnesota, where they've got a guy that they like, and I'm struggling on his name. I know it's a Kapanen. Finnish goalie, and I just can't. Thank you. They got Kapanen ready to go, and it's just like they need a guy to shepherd him. Cam Talbot is there, but Cam Talbot is 34. He's kind of struggling this year, not having the year he was having last year. I could see Minnesota maybe bring them in, bring Varley in, and just have him go for another year. Although with that being said, I'm not confident on Talbot's contract situation in terms of term. So I'm just going to bring that up now, and maybe I will correct myself.
I think he's a free agent.
Talbot has another year.
Oh, he does?
He has one more year, 3.66.
Yeah, maybe not then.
So, yeah, that kind of takes that away real quick.
Yeah, so it's down to one team. It's if the Edmonton Oilers want him, then that's it. Right?
And he's got, yeah, and Varley's got that 16-team no-trade list. And like we've spoken about already, the odds that Edmonton are on it are, well, 99.99%.
Yeah, why does no one want to go there, even though Connor McDavid's there?
It's cold AF. It's far north. It's not the greatest city. I don't mind Edmonton that much. I have family out there, so I enjoy myself going. They got a really big ass mall, so that's cool. It's very spread out. It's not really, let's say, a cultural hub, although I'm sure Edmonton has its own. Obviously, it's got a concert scene, a music scene, a museum scene, all kinds of scenes going on. It's not what you would call a big city. And the fact that it's really far north, is the farthest north or the most northern city in the NHL, that's a hit.
Listen, I'm not going to claim to be a geography guy, but that's got to be pretty close to Russia then, no?
In terms of latitude?
I don't know, in terms of, I don't know, don't you go... I thought, didn't What's-Her-Face say that like she could see Russia from her backyard in Alaska?
Yeah, well, she was in Alaska. That's not close, no. It's okay. Not that close.
See, I should have stuck with that. I'm not a geography guy and just stopped talking from there.
So you'd think, though, like in a winter sport that people are like, yeah, well, the winter doesn't faze me because I like playing hockey very clearly. But apparently it does.
Cold doesn't bother me anyway. Right, Mitch?
Boom. Yeah. Good old Frozen. My God, I even blanked on the name of the movie. So it really does seem that. Or it really does seem that Varley won't be going to Edmonton, although that really seems like the only place that would be taking him right now.
So then would you put the percentage or the odds on him being traded at slim right now because there aren't very many places he can go?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Unless like a rebuilding team or one of those bottom teams want to take him on. Like, I'm thinking of some of the worst save percentage teams in the NHL. Like, well, I'm not going to say Montreal because they've got a $10 million goalie on the roster and they're not going to bring in more money, I don't think. But maybe Arizona, you know, not Seattle because they just signed a guy, but maybe Buffalo, maybe Philly, right? Someone to help Carter Hart. But I guess Philly isn't that bad. They have a straight 900 save percentage. Let me redo this table here. Yeah, New Jersey, the Detroit, right? Thomas Greiss might be going out. But these are all teams that, why would they be making that trade now? Why at the trade deadline did they go and acquire Semyon Varlamov? They have no need to do that.
No, that would screw. Offseason, different story for all those teams, like you said. Like, it wouldn't, like if Buffalo, as you said, if a team like that wants to trade for him and kind of be a placeholder, that would make sense. But why now in March?
It makes no sense for them. Again, there's just the finances of it. He's being paid at a $6 million salary this year, whereas next year drops to $4 million. Sure, next year you're going to be on the tab for $4 million, but if you trade for him now, you got the $4 million plus the prorated for whatever's left on that contract this year. Why do that when you don't really need him this year? The season's done for most of these teams. Right. Why bring him in now?
Yeah, no, you're right. It doesn't make sense. So I think I'd be surprised if he gets moved. Now, that's not to say that I don't think he has any value. I just don't know, as we kind of, you know, tucked ourselves in circles here, but I don't know how many fits there are.
Yeah, and so and Lou can't dangle the "we're just not going to play you" thing, so waive your no trade clause like he did with Andrew Ladd. He can't do that with Varley because Varley knows you have no, like, you can't, you're not going to bring someone else in to replace me, and I'm going to be better than them, and you need me right now anyway. So, like, okay, no, I'm going to play. So he can't use that as leverage to get him to do what he wants him to do.
Yeah, because that, well, what if he says they'll waive him? Then couldn't anybody pick him up?
Then anyone could, and then, well, so he, yeah, I guess, yeah, anyone could. And then it's kind of like, all right, sorry. Although, with a no trade, can he go through waivers?
I know the no, oh, good question.
No move, he couldn't. So, like, this is something that we got to look up right meow if we can, as my camera dies out. So we're going to do this live on the show here. CBA, so no trade. What is a no trade clause? Thank you very much. So I don't think that that... I'm pretty sure he'll be allowed to go through waivers, but the cause... This is bad podcasting. So do you want to vamp while I read?
No, I was going to say, my guess was that no move, obviously you wouldn't be able to do it, but no trade, I feel like you could still go through. I think it only has to do with trades. That's my guess. I could be completely wrong here in a second when you find this, but my guess would be he would go through waivers.
You're right. He had, consent is not required to be placed on waivers with a no trade.
Right. So then, I mean, then it would be like, then who knows? Maybe you get picked up by like Arizona or something like that, and then you're really SOL.
So you're right. Yeah, maybe he can dangle that. Like, well, I'm just going to waive you then. And then you're going to have to go play in Bridgeport. And Robin Salah doesn't like it, so you certainly won't.
Your choices are Bridgeport, Connecticut, or whatever college the Arizona Coyotes are playing at.
Yeah, you're gonna play in the Heat, or you're going to play in Heat. So which one do you want?
Poor guy.
The Heat reference was that, anyways, I'm not going to get into it. Bridgeport seems like a lovely place, I'm told.
Yeah. Yes. Anything else on Semyon Varlamov, his rumors, or did we kind of just come to our conclusion that we don't think he's getting moved?
I don't think he's getting moved. And then the problem then is next year when there's not going to be a flood of goalies on the market, but there's going to be a number of free agent goalies out there. Whereas, is the team really going to go and say, like, I need to get Semyon Varlamov right now ASAP at $5 million cap hit and a $4 million payout? Maybe, but maybe not, right? Because, again, there's going to be a number of goalies out there, and I'm just trying to build the list here, that are going to be available, like Fleury, although he probably retires, Kemper, Grice, Corposalo, Jones. Like, these are all just UFAs, Braden Holtby, Francouz, Campbell, Halak. These are all guys that can still kind of play, and then there are more here. So yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't see the market being that desperate next year either.
It depends. I guess it depends on preference. Like, I don't know. Lou really wanted him. He almost traded for him the year before he was a free agent anyway. So don't know. I think it depends on, you know, the different staffs that are in place around the league. Maybe someone does prefer Varlamov and would want to give up a pick because they saw the 920 save percentage. They saw the playoff performances in recent years. So maybe he has a little bit more better for some of these teams than like a Halak who, yeah, he was good for a long time, but he's significantly older than Varlamov, I'd imagine, right?
Yes. Yeah, so that's just it. So He being Varley, is better than most of the goalies on this list. Like, Francouz is a 920 goalie, but has only played 14 games.
Yeah.
Other than that, you've got Darcy Kemper is maybe the most attractive. That's going to be the guy who's probably going to take whatever or challenge Varley for whatever position is going to be available, because you've now got a guy who's 32 in Darcy Kemper at a 917 save percentage. So right. Maybe a team makes a play for him instead of Semyon Varlamov, because Kemper, you can probably get cheaper than Varley.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So maybe not.
We'll see.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting going forward. He's not going to be the main player that I think people are targeting when it comes to the Islanders at the trade deadline, but is someone that seems to be gaining some interest.
Absolutely. So let's transition here and talk about someone on the blue line who's getting a lot of playing time right now, someone who doesn't usually get a lot, and that's Sebastian Aho. So I don't know about you. I feel like for me, after that little bit of a point streak or scoring streak that he went on, his play has kind of gone down the tubes to me.
It has, and I think we've started to see the limitations that he brings to the table, or the limitations in his play, where he's not a top four guy. He's a bottom pair guy, puck mover, not a physical guy at all, and it not drifts, but has a hard time seeing that consistent bottom pair role even, or a bottom pair impact. So that's what we're seeing the last couple of games, but we're going to keep seeing it the rest of the way through the season, I would believe.
Yeah, I would think so too. And especially like Zdeno Chara is hurt right now, so he hasn't been playing, and Sebastian Aho has been, you know, skating in that spot. But even like theoretically, like Andy Green could get traded. He's an expiring guy. I don't know what his market would be like, but there's a chance that he gets moved. And if that's the case, then you're probably going to see more of Sebastian Aho. And he probably deserves the extended look to see what you have there. But I don't know if I'm convinced that he can prove that he's anything more than a seventh defenseman / low ceiling sixth defenseman.
No, I don't think there's anything more to that either. But the thing is, the Islanders have to keep running this guy out because he's on the verge of becoming a Group 6 UFA. And so what that means is that every player has to play a certain number of games before they hit the age of 25. Once they hit the age of 25 and their contract expires, if they haven't played 80 NHL games by then, they could become a Group 6 UFA. And Sebastian Aho is one of them. Now, the 80 limit has reduced by 5 because of that shortened season in 1920. Mm-hmm. So he has to play 75 games or become a UFA at the end of this contract. That means he's got 27 games as it stands now to play. There are 29 games left on the season. So if he misses 3 games, he becomes a UFA. That to me says the Islanders are going to keep playing him because I don't see Lou Lamoriello just losing this guy who has 14 points over his NHL career, just let him go for no reason.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. When you look at it through that lens, it kind of makes it like, all right, what are you gaining out of running the Charas and the Greens out there for, you know, guys who aren't long-term answers here? Earlier in the year when you're trying to salvage, like, okay, I guess, you know, I get that. But yeah, like, that's a good point. If there's no injury with Sebastian Aho and he's capable of playing every game the rest of the way, he probably should, just so that you don't lose him for any, like you said, for nothing.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. But with Zdeno Chara hurt, there's no problem. Like, you have an opening, we're good. And it's not like Robin Salo is knocking down the door to demand an NHL spot now, although as much as he'd love to be on Long Island rather than Bridgeport, he's not knocking down the door with his play necessarily. His ceiling is still there, but his level of play is not right now. So you have no problems playing Sebastian Aho as it stands. But when Chara is healthy, and it seems that he's close to it, right? He's already skating with the team at the time of recording. If he's ready to go, well, now what do you do? Because you're going to have a healthy Chara, and you're going to have a healthy Andy Green. And while at the beginning of the year, we would have said, like, you got to play at least only one of them, we know the Islanders are going to play both of them. So what do they do now? Are you going to play both of them and then lose Sebastian Aho for nothing? Okay, fine. Well, you're going to lose one of those guys for nothing, too.
Yeah, then it would probably be like all three of those guys gone.
So, right. Like, I just, they're gonna have to play him the rest of the way, but then who sits out for him?
Well, you don't think one of those guys gets moved in the next week or so?
That's exactly what I wanted you to say, because yeah, I think I would have to, right? The Islanders have to be listening actively to any trade on any of these guys being Green or Chara and ready to move. Chara's got the 1652, so we're good now, or 1653, that is. So we're good. You can move him, he hit the record with an Islanders jersey, we're all good. So yeah, why not trade him now?
You could. You absolutely could. And I could see, like, it's a very overblown narrative, but it holds true in the league that people like the veteran presence and the guy who's been there before and done it. And Zdeno Chara is the epitome of that. That's why the Islanders brought him in this year. They were hoping that he was going to bring that, you know, experience for them to when they were on a playoff run. Unfortunately, that just wasn't the case this year. I could absolutely see a team looking for him, or even Andy Green. Like, I know, obviously not held to the same standard as Zdeno Chara, but he's had to see a ton of playoff time in his career too, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that's a good, interesting comment to make. I don't know how many playoff games he's had over his career. Often, like, I'm sure he's got enough because you're right, he played for the Devils and then he played for the Islanders in those two runs. So I'm sure it's stacked up just there. So let's find out here, scrolling down. He has 90 playoff games to his name.
90.
40 with the Islanders and 50 with the Devils.
It was a lot more with the Devils than I thought it would be. But I guess that 2012 run he was there for.
Yeah, that's insane when you think about it. He has 6 years of playoff experience with the Devils and has 50 games. 2 years of playoff experience with the Islanders, 40 games.
That's what happens when you go on two deep runs right in a row.
That's right. So there's a market for either one of those guys. How, what the return is on that isn't, you know, anything to write home about, I imagine. But I think to your point, it would then allow the Islanders to play Sebastian Aho more full time.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And I think that's what they'll do the rest of the way. I don't see, like, obviously, we're both probably assuming that they're going to have two options on the left side open up at the end of the year because Andy Green and Zdeno Chara aren't coming back. And even if Sebastian Aho plays the rest of the way, I would be surprised if he's in serious, you know, contending for one of those two spots for next year. I think his role as a seventh defenseman is fine. Anything more than that, I think you're pushing it.
Yeah, and the Islanders don't like giving up prospects for no reason. They didn't want to give up Josh Hosang, right? Like, until they absolutely had to Group 6 UFA. They could have let him go maybe a little bit earlier, but they chose not to, even though they had no plan on keeping him. They will want to keep him because this is him being Sebastian Aho. This is a guy that they're playing actively at the NHL level that they seem to like, even if his ceiling isn't very high. I can't see them just being like, "Nah, we're good. Wasn't good enough." Possible. I just don't see it as likely. So they're going to have to make a spot for him. And, you know, in a losing season, then why not? Like, if you can get a third round pick for Andy Green, you do it.
Yeah, whatever. You just take, you take whatever they'll give you at that point. So, but I'm with you. It doesn't make sense to just lose him for nothing. So you might as well play him. And hey, who knows? Maybe he goes on one of those offensive scoring streaks, but it's probably going to be a rebound back to dumb penalties and playing 12 minutes a night from the blue line.
Probably, but something to watch for Sebastian Aho. So he's got to play 27 games the rest of the way for the Islanders to hold his rights. If he plays less than 27 games, he becomes a UFA at the end of the year. And then I don't know if he's going to... Doesn't mean he's going to go somewhere else, right? Like, Michael Del Cole was not given a qualifying offer, right? And he stayed, so...
That's true.
We'll see what happens with Seabass.
Yeah, absolutely. So how about we take a look at some of the other younger guys on down on the farm?
The first one I want to bring up is William Dufour. I've brought him up before. I'm going to bring him up again. He scored today. I don't know if he's put up another goal since we started talking. I don't think he has because my phone isn't going nuts. I get updates whenever one of the teams our prospects on scores a goal. And so I'm just going to go now to my little aggregator here. No, I don't think he's put up another goal. So he's up to 41 on the year is what William Dufour is at. He has 41 goals in 43 games, which is absolutely insane. Ridiculous.
He just can't stop scoring goals, this kid.
No, he's now at 77 points. So he's second in the league in terms of points. He's first in the league, and the league is the QMJHL. First in the league in terms of goals. And I'm just trying to, for some reason, I can't hit the right button here. I'm just trying to get to see how far ahead he is.
So the top two guys in terms of production is 79 points is Joshua Roy and 77 points for William Dafoe. The next guy, 68 points. So he's right up there, top two in the league. And there's a split or a good gap between the third, second and third. And then in terms of goals, he is 41 and the next guy has 34.
Wow. No, that's
it's like not even close. He's running away with it.
Now, what do you have to say to the people who say, well, it's just that league. Everyone scores in that league. What's your rebuttal?
Well, clearly not. Like, there's only one guy who's at 40 goals right now. He's setting a French. He's going to be on pace for a franchise record for goals. So, no. He set a franchise record for point streaks. And again, like, that's just the franchise. But still, that doesn't happen all too often. If he keeps going the way he's going, he's going to hit 60 goals. And that just doesn't happen. Like, I'm going to try to get the history and for the records for the QMJHL, and let's just see how many 60-goal scorers we have. And, of course, we're going to get records like Mike Bossy and Mario Lemieux and Guy Lafleur.
Sure.
But, like, we all know he's not going to be them. So I'm just trying to bring it up. It's going to take a second here. Single season, regular season, we don't care what years. We only want players. We want goals. We want most goals filtered by a player. Just the QMJHL has a ton of filters when it comes to bringing up their records. And we want one season. And we want home and away. It doesn't matter. And then boom, let's bring it up. I don't know if I can filter for just 60 goals here. Apparently not. So the record is 133 goals in a year by Mario Lemieux. So he's not hitting that. That's for damn sure. But yeah, that's still insane. So for 60 goal seasons, anything over 60, there's at least 100 entries here. So there's a lot, but most of this is set in like the 80s and the early 90s. There isn't a lot that's over that. You have some like 2000 records for like Thomas Beauregard, never played at the NHL as far as I know. Simon Gamache, never heard of him before. But these are all done in the early 2000s. We don't have anything after that. And he could very well be one of these players. Now, I want everyone to take this with a grain of salt. Of course, you have an 04-05 Sidney Crosby put up 66 goals. So
there you go.
He's not going to be Sidney Crosby, but that's the thing. We have to remember that he's still a fifth round pick. This isn't kind of like, oh my God, this kid is going to be the next Sidney Crosby or Daniel Briard or Mike Ribeiro, who scored over 60 goals in a year. But there's something there to this kid. He's clearly above this league. And I keep hearing overager. He's not an overager. As far as I understand it, overagers, you have to start the year as a 20-year-old. He is not. He started the year as a 19-year-old, turned 20 in January. This kid, there's something there. What that is exactly remains to be seen, but it's clear that it's well above the junior level or the major junior level in the QMJHL. He is ready for the AHL, and then we'll see what happens. But he's ready for that. That's what we're all excited about, is that this fifth round pick, clearly an AHL ready player. And that's huge, because at a fifth round, you're like, whatever, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and honestly, like, even if it just, that's it, that's all you'll ever be is an AHL guy, you'll still take that.
It's a fifth round pick, right? Like,
yeah.
You don't, I don't understand people like, well, it's just a QMJHL. Okay, cool. It's just a fifth round pick, though. Like, fifth round picks don't turn into maybe something on trees. Like, there's a reason they're darts, because they don't really turn out to anything. But this guy's got something where you are forced to pay attention.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's been a fun ride. I enjoy going on Twitter and seeing the GIFs of all these goals, because, well, it seems like they come just about every single day.
They really do. Every single day he's scoring a goal. Every time they play, it's must watch TV. Because he's probably going to score something or put up a point or put on a big hit. Just a really good player to have in the prospect pool. And we'll see what comes of it. Like, we have to remember that draft class wasn't supposed to be any good.
Right.
We might have got something out of it, but we started with a third round pick and we kind of whiffed on that one, I think. But it is what it is.
Yeah, it's probably a conversation for another day.
Yeah, so the other prospect I want to bring up is Bodie Wild.
Okay.
Because I did a video today, and I posted it just before we went up, and it was looking at, there was a question posted to me by JP. I don't know if everyone knows who he is, but in case you don't, JP asked me, like, what kind of players or what prospects could be coming to the AHL or NHL this year, as in, like, this season? And I went through the whole list, but then I didn't know what to do with Bodie Wild, because the essential point of the video was like, well, what prospect that isn't already in North America or isn't already signed to an NHL deal could be coming over now because their season's done, but ours isn't. And I was like, well, Bodie Wild could be one of those guys. Like, the Bridgeport Islanders season doesn't end till April 23rd, the regular season, that is. Who knows if they make the playoffs? Whereas the Hockey All-Saskatchewan season ends on March 16th. So that's just in like 5 or 7 days here in a week. It's done. He's in a playoff position, but I don't imagine their team is going to go far. They're not great. They're fine, but they're not great. If that season is done before April 23rd, does he come over?
Do you think Lou's going to change his vax policy?
Right? That's the thing. Like, you got an immovable object in Lou Lamoriello, and as far as I understand, an immovable object in terms of Bodie Wild, who, as far as I understand, has not changed his stance on getting a vaccine or wanting to get one. And this isn't a debate to, like, he should or shouldn't. I think he should. Anyways, again, I was going to immediately, like, say something and then go against it immediately. What a jerk move that would have been by me. But so those, you got two immovable objects. Something's got to give. And unfortunately, it's going to be Bodie Wild's ability to play in North America, because Lou's in a position of power and Bodie Wild is not. But it's going to be interesting to see what actually does happen.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, what happens there? And especially because, like, a lot of restrictions here are being lifted. Like, for instance, at UBS, they're not checking vax cards anymore. So, like, does that change his stance? Like, I know that's just one instance of it, but with restrictions becoming, I don't know, less now at this point, do they care as much? Is he going to have that hard of a stance? There's no way for us to know, but it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think if the rules for the league are still in place, and as far as we see them, they are, right? Like, Shannon Hogan still has to wear a mask, and people call her out about it. Like, she's not doing it necessarily because she wants to. She's doing it because she has to for her job, and maybe she does want to. Even if she does, relax. It's just a mask. It's not that big of a deal. But I don't think the NHL is ready to loosen its stance this year. Maybe next year. But it's not like Bodie Wild is ready to jump into the NHL anyways. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I think Bodie Wild loses out on this year totally. And even if Westerwick is done, he's not coming over.
Yeah, I agree. I would be surprised. Now, again, like you said, if the league changes some policies over the summer going into the 2022-23 season, then sure, yeah, he could absolutely come back and, you know, try to get this thing rolling again. But I would be so surprised if Lou Lamoriello, of all people, changes his stance for Bodie Wild. Like, that is just that would be so bizarre if he did.
It absolutely is. I don't think it's going to happen. Now, the interesting thing isn't just about this year. It's, well, what about next year? Because he's still under NHL contract next year. And then he's going to be an RFA after that. And while they could just say, like, we're not going to qualify you, and I would suspect that would be the case if these kind of shenanigans continue between the two. Although maybe not. Like, they didn't with Joshua Sang, although that was a totally different ballgame. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And the interesting is going to start within a couple of weeks. Not even, probably a couple of weeks, because I don't imagine they're getting past the first round as a historic.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, but it's going to be interesting there. That's a good point to bring up.
Yeah, so that's down on the farm. There's not a whole lot more to talk about. No one's doing anything crazy wild right now that needs to. Do you have anyone you want to get an update on? Or
no, I think we covered it. I think we're good for now. So, love it.
Perfect. So then, shall we do the quiz?
Let's do it.
As we do every week, Matt, I have a mystery New York Islander for you. This is not a Spiz special. This is coming straight from me. You've got 5 clues to guess. They get progressively easier as we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
clue number one. I was drafted 208th overall by Washington.
Semyon Varlamov?
Incorrect. Good try. Two, I coached Edmonton briefly in 2013 all the way till 2015.
Ooh. Okay, next. I don't remember.
Okay, I as soon as I spoke it, I was like, I think I made that one too easy for number two. But either way, three, I played two games with the Isles and scored 1 point in a 5-3 win over the New Jersey Devils. I got the secondary assist on a Tim Connolly goal. That should kind of give away the timeline that we're looking at here.
Yeah. Okay. Don't have a guess yet.
Four, I'm currently the head coach of the Anaheim Ducks.
Can you repeat that? We had one of these internet freezes over here. I didn't hear the question.
Sure thing. I'm currently the head coach of the Anaheim Ducks.
Oh my God. Oh my God, it's right on the tip of my tongue. What the hell's his name? Oh my God. Hitchcock is jumping out, but that's not what his name is.
It is not. He's much younger than Hitchcock.
Eakins.
Do I need to give you number five? Ooh, do you know his first name?
No.
It's a team in the NHL. They got a city in the NHL.
Okay. Give me the last
It's in
clue.
Texas.
Oh, in Dallas. Dallas.
The
Dallas.
Last. There it is. Yes.
Let's go.
Well, you got it.
Okay.
You got it. Good job. You got it before number five, which was, I don't live in Dallas, but that's my first name.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Good job by you. Yeah, he played two games for the Islanders, scored 1 point, was a journeyman, played for like seven different teams, never stayed longer than, I think his longest stint was 40 games with, I'm going to say it's Florida.
Okay. Yeah, did not really remember his time.
Moving around a lot to Dallas Eakins.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't really remember a whole lot of his, obviously, time with the Islanders. But yeah, interesting. Okay. What made you pull that one?
I didn't really know. I essentially hit randomize on the Wikipedia list of Islanders players. And by randomize, I mean like I screwed around with the wheel on my mouse up and down and up and down and up and down type of thing. And then his name popped out and I went, that's the one.
Interesting. Okay. All right. There we go.
So there's not a good method to my madness. It's literally madness upon madness.
We live for madness here on the Eyes on Isles podcast. So let's get into the social segment. We'll see what's going around on Isles Twitter this week. What stood out to you, Mitch?
I got a few things, but I'm going to start with the second one because I want to start with this one here. It comes from Isles Fix. I think we all know who they are. They do an excellent job with their newsletter. It says, best part of this Wahlstrom photo, and it's a photo of him scoring that goal from Saturday, is the guy in the background wearing the orange and blue scarf, and it's none other than co-owner John Ledecky. Front and center. Incredible.
Yeah, that is really cool, and that's not the first time he's done something like that. I give a lot of respect to John Ledecky because I think he really does have the fans' best interest in mind, and I feel like he genuinely cares. Like, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of owners who are kind of absentee owners, or just like, you can tell they're kind of just in it for business reasons, and obviously they are in it for business reasons too, but I don't know, he gives off the impression that he genuinely cares.
Yeah, and I think he recognizes, and this is the sign of, I guess, a good businessman, is recognizes his audience, right, his market. They've had absentee owners forever, minus Charles Wong, obviously. And so, like, to have a guy there, front and center, cheering the team on, visible, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies type of thing, is important. Because you're right, he's in it for the business aspect of it. He's going to make a ton of money when he eventually sells his team. But he's having fun while he's doing it. And who doesn't want to be making bank and having fun? Isn't that the point of having a bunch of money?
Yeah, I would hope so. If I ever got that rich, that's what I would want to do.
Yeah, I would definitely buy a team and just have a whole hell of a lot of fun with it.
Absolutely. So good on him. Love it. That's a good one to start with. My first one comes from Pete Jensen on Twitter, and he says, percentage of games started with save percentage above 900 this season, minimum 25 games. So you have five people on this list, and coming in at number five is Ilya Sorokin. He is top five on that list at 70.3% of his starts. He has a save percentage over 900, so he's in good company. You have Shesterkin 1, Vasilevsky, Saros, Ottinger on here. So there's some pretty good names on here.
He's a damn good goalie, man. There's a reason that we're like, okay, maybe it's time to move Varley. It clearly happened a little bit sooner than we wanted to, but Ilya Sorokin has taken over as number one.
Yeah, obviously. We're at the point where you can afford to lose Semyon Varlamov, which maybe last year you didn't think because of just how good he was.
Yeah, and like Varley was good last year, so was Sorokin, but you're going, okay, well, it's 1 year, let's see what happens. And then year two, he does this, and you're going, all right, yeah, it's clear. This guy is ready for it. We just need to get him a decent backup, and we'll be okay.
Also, like, I don't even want to complain, but just he needs to post up a little bit better, and then that will take his game to an even higher level.
Could you imagine if he just posts up a little bit better and he'd stop like another five goals on his season and then that changes everything?
Yeah, but just wanted to toss that out there. What else you got, Mitch?
Mine comes from Rick Draw McGraw at RP Kern Kern, who says they should have given Palmieri the first star and then taken it away.
That's pretty good. That's pretty funny. I like that.
All right. He gets two goals, scores. And like good shots by him on both shots, they go in, but they're like, no. Although I guess the second one was high sticking, but you know, we've all gone through that ourselves as Islanders fans and been on the other end of a high sticking. But the first one was a good shot. The other one was just a good deflection, just, you know, unfortunately a little bit too high, maybe.
Yeah, it was borderline, but that was just bad stretch run of luck for him. That was tough.
That was tough, but he's on some hell of a run of form right now, and I'm loving it. I want more of this, please.
Yes, please, especially over the next few years. My last one comes from Joe Pantorno on Twitter, and he says, Barry Trotz just described this season as, quote, mentally crushing. And I, you know what? that gets my stamp of approval because agree, Barry. This season has been so frustrating and draining, you have no idea.
It has. It really has. He absolutely gets it. Because you're going like, there's, what do I do? What else do I do? And like people can say like, you can play Wally more. And I guess maybe he could. But does Wally playing another 5 minutes a night change the direction of the season? Probably not. And that's why he hasn't done it.
Yeah, I would lean towards no, especially how he's played recently.
Yeah. My last one here comes from Eric Vogel. It says from 2009, 2000, he lays out year upon year of this reoccurring argument, or not argument, but narrative within the Islanders fan base. 09, man, I can't wait for the Islanders to get Tavares some help. 2010 through 2012, straight nopes. 2013, Vanek, nope. 14 through 7 to 16, straight nopes again. Then it's 2017, Barzal, and a swear word that I won't repeat because it's a family podcast, but there's a swear word there. 2018, man, I can't wait for the Isles to get Barzal some help. And then from 19 over to 23, it's just straight nopes all over again.
Yeah, that's real. I will say this, and I know maybe Islanders fans are tired of hearing it. I think something changes this offseason because the amount of cap space that they're going to have, they have room to make a major splash. And even if they move Varlamov, then the sky's the limit because that's close to $18 million that they have to play with.
And not a whole lot to sign. You got Noah Dobson is the biggest name there. And we all know he's getting a bridge deal. It's just, is it going to be 2.5 or 3? That's it.
Yeah, it's not exactly. No matter how good he plays down the stretch here, I don't see it getting any higher than, like, as you said, 2.5 or 3 million in that range.
Yeah, so they're going to have $15 million, assuming they move Varley, to play with. And most of their team's still around. Yippee-ki-yay. There's no one that's more than you can pay one person, and they're not going to be bringing in for someone more than 10.
So that still leaves him $5 million to fill out the rest of the lineup after acquiring a $10 million player, arguably. We're going to make some moves here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm looking forward to it. Did you have anything else? I was all out on social.
That was it.
All right. So a couple plugs before we go. Wherever you listen to the show, please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating and a review. Really helps us out a lot. We appreciate all the love and support. You can follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS. On Twitter, my Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY, and Mitch is over at TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You could also download the Fansided app, get us there, see the website, EyesOnIsles.com, or Patreon, patreon.com/EyesOnIsles. $5 a month gets you bonus content like post-game podcasts, mailbag podcasts, and a Discord group of Islanders fans. It's a whole lot of fun. Definitely worth your while to check out. Right, Mitch?
100% get there now. I'm just looking at the Patreon podcast right now to see how many questions we got. We have 11 questions to get to, buddy. So, and they're always some thinkers. So there's some good questions in there. Can't wait to do it.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, I'm Matt O'Leary. He's Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.